They will not let one perverse generation destroy a biosphere that has been in development for billions of years, or a world that is intended to be here for hundreds of thousands to millions of years to come as a place for the development of intelligent life and enlightenment. There have always been two space programs. There is the conventional space program that my uncle worked in. He was the senior project engineer with Grumman designing the lunar module, using jet thrusters etc. A parallel space program exists using more advanced technologies, including early anti-gravity spacecraft capable of going faster than the speed of light. But Earth is under a type of cosmic quarantine. It is known that we are not yet socially and spiritually evolved enough to go into space with such advanced technologies, and so our wings are clipped for now. The key to our being welcome in the cosmos is peace. There are entire worlds that don't even have a concept of war that are highly developed and are at or beyond our level of technological achievement. So a world like ours would be enormously risky to turn loose on the cosmos. We are just still too violent and primitive. Our ability to utilize all the technologies we have developed covertly has been truncated by extraterrestrial enforcement of a type of quarantine. They are charged with protecting the universe from a species whose technologies have way outstripped their social and spiritual development. This is manifest universal justice. It would be the height of insanity and folly to turn militaristic humans loose on the cosmos. Neil Armstrong was overheard saying as we landed on the moon, there were numerous extraterrestrial vehicles on the crater, watching us and that we were essentially warned off the moon. Now think about it. During the height of the Cold War, the space program was really a military asset. It was a race to the moon competitively with the Soviets, and plans were in place to put military assets on the moon. The extraterrestrial people do not want us carving up other worlds into us versus them, territories, thus exporting human conflict into space. It will not be allowed. Now, again, if you wanted to spin that in a certain way, you could say, see, there is a threat. When in reality what they are doing is protecting space from conflict and warfare. But, if we go out into space, united and in peace, the universe is an open book for us. There are artificial structures on the moon that predate the 1969 lunar landing. Some of them are very old while others look newer and functional. There are extraterrestrial assets that are out in space on a fairly permanent basis, and underneath the surface of Mars there are extensive extraterrestrial facilities. These ancient ET facilities on the Moon and Mars, as well as ancient evidence of ET visitation to Earth, have led some to suggest that humans have been partly assisted in our evolution by ET genetic augmentation. I believe this is likely and logical. There certainly is a missing link in the timeline of our evolution, and it is likely that advanced civilizations assisted and augmented our species. Now, when I say that, I am very careful not to, at the same time, say that we are created by ETs. I believe that there is an infinite God that creates all of us. But that doesn't mean that as a physician I can't assist or fix a problem. These are not mutually exclusive dynamics, except to scientific and religious fundamentalists. People may ask, well, if that is the case, does it mean that there is a God? Well, of course. There can be a divine creator who also moves and operates through the relative world, and through channels and through means. And we are those channels and means. And so are peoples from other planets. I have contacts at JPL, Jet Propulsion Labs, who have told me that they know the structures on the Moon and Mars are ancient, and that for theological and religious reasons, this information is being suppressed. The orthodoxy of conventional religious dogma would be upended by such a revelation. The existence of an infinite creator and the likelihood that there have been developments that have assisted the evolution of humans as part of a divine plan are not mutually exclusive concepts. In fact, I find them to be quite complementary, advanced theological ideas perhaps, but not inconsistent with the fundamental reality of the existence of an intelligent supreme being. Because if we can apprehend, however dimly, the intent of God or a divine plan, why can't others, including extraterrestrials. And then why can't they act within that knowledge? There is a universal form of intelligent species. It appears that the non-local morphogenic propagation of an upright being with a head, bimorphism with two arms and two legs is a universal constant. In Sheldrake's morphogenic fields, there is the concept that once a pattern develops that works, it tends to then replicate, and not only replicate through known and local means, but through non-local connections in remote places at the same time. It's like the 100th monkey phenomenon where you have one island with a population of monkeys learning a skill, and all of a sudden, at a distant place, with no direct contact, the other monkeys begin to do the same thing. So there is a non-local transfer of patterns of evolution and knowledge that takes place. If you understand the power of consciousness, and the fact that mind is always omnipresent, and is the ultimate non-local integrator, it becomes clear that our thoughts and our prayers and vision can have a non-local effect all over the earth, and throughout the universe. One of the central purposes of the Xeti expeditions is for the entire group to be in that state of unity consciousness and see and go, create a universe that is at peace. The state of unity consciousness has material effects as well. You have heard accounts of remote healing. Well, how does that happen? You have two people removed in space and yet a healing is effected. This happens because everything is non-local. We don't recognize it. But in reality even matter is awakeness, mind, stuff, phasing in a different resonance frequency. And so space, matter, and time are intimately and at all times connected to consciousness. But consciousness is a singularity. It is indivisible. We divide it in our intellectual mind, but this is an artificial construct. The reality is that consciousness is perfectly integrated and omnipresent, and that's why there can be remote healing. That is why there can be telepathy. That is why you can break outside the bounds of space and time and see a distant point in space or time or effect a remote change. The nature of mind itself is always non-local. It is always in a state where it is in its fullness, everywhere, at every time, in an omnipresent manner. This is why even physical systems, engineering systems or genetic systems can be evolving in one place, and if it is very successful, begin to propagate non-locally elsewhere in another part of the universe. This is non-local nodal propagation through the perfect integrating quality of consciousness. Own breath as it goes in and out, as you are in a perfect state of quiet and peace. And as you are observing your breath, gently see the awake mind that is watching the breath. See it is steady and ever-present. What is watching the breath? See that there is an awakeness within yourself that is steady and unchanging, observing all things. Peaceful. And as you see your breath rising and falling, going in and out, in this beautiful peaceful state, you also see that the mind that is watching quietly, is an infinite ocean of awakeness. Now we dive into this vast ocean and allow ourselves to go very very deeply into quiet and peaceful conscious mind that observes all things. And we behold that the breath of our life, the sounds around us, the thoughts that rise and fall and come and go within the mind, all that we hear and see and feel and touch and know is submerged in this vast ocean of awakeness. And very gently we go ever more deeply into that awake mind. And we see that even our individuality, that which we call I, ourselves, is but a window, a very clear and pure window, through which this infinite light of awareness is shining. And in this moment we see, as we dive now more deeply into this ocean of consciousness, that it is an infinite single omnipresent field of awakeness, as it shines through our own individuality, and it is this awakeness which enables us to watch our breath. To hear the sounds, to see the sights, to observe the thoughts, and to even apprehend our own selves. Leaving then, this small self behind, let us dive completely in free, dom as we would into an infinite ocean, this beautiful and infinite conscious mind, and we see then that we are awake and that this awakeness is a singularity, always indivisible, shining within all beings, and that every one of us sitting here together, and every being on earth, and every being in the cosmos is awake by this same unbroken indivisible light of consciousness, the mind in its unbounded and infinite true nature. Then, soaring on the wings of this infinite mind, as we would through the vastness of a fathomless ocean, we see that each of us is one, and that this silent, absolute, infinite and eternal awake being is standing within all things, shining within each atom, moving every photon, illuminating every soul, shining from every star. And we see in this instant that the entirety of creation and all that exists, is this same awakeness, shining, moving, phasing, in unique shapes and forms. But it is all one. It is indivisible. It is eternal. Within the field of this absolute awakeness, we see that because it is beyond space, it is infinite, and because it is not bound by any point in time, it is infinite and eternal. And yet in its fullness, without division, it is present at every point in space and every point in time, and in this we see the state of divine perfection, perfect harmony. And being thus centered, in this awakeness, which is infinite, we now begin to explore the structure of the cosmos. And we see that this omnipresent awakeness, and the infinite manifest creation, are perfectly one, and yet within the sphere of that which is relative, there are distinctions. Being then established in this infinite cosmic mind, let us gaze into the finest level of its manifestation as this infinite being, and this eternal mind, through the operation of its own will, takes on the form of the Creator. Moving then within the realm of infinity, the Creator aspect of this infinite mind and being exists as the primal source that manifests and maintains the entire universe and the entire creation. And the first emanation from this infinite and absolute mind is a sound, a thought, the sound vibration of which has within it the seed, sound and idea of all that has been, all that is, and all that will be. And from this primal thought issuing forth from the infinite and divine oneness of the conscious being of the divine mind, we see the cosmos becoming manifest and differentiated. And from this primal thought issuing forth from the morn of eternity, we see within this primal thought and sound, the thought and seed idea for all things, all places, all ideas, all structures, all forms, all sounds, all that can be and will ever be and ever was in the entirety of creation. And so we perceived this primal thought and this primal sound, which are one, differentiating into an infinite number of realities. And within one we can see a star. And within another we see an apple. And within another, we see our own individuality and self. And within another we see our friends. And within another we see the grass. And within another we see the wolf. And within another we see the earth, and in another we see other worlds. Thus in infinite progression, the seed idea forms, each with their own primal thought and sound issuing forth from this most great thought, through the operation of will of the Creator, rises forth from the silent eternal being. And as we perceive this becoming more manifest, we see within this great being, the most great light. And from this primal thought, and this most elemental sound, issues forth the form of the perfect light, the perfect form, which has within it all of the creation, and the infinite cosmic creation suffused in light, emerges and unfolds within our vision. And in this most great light, we see then the form of all that there can be. And within this world of light, an ocean of infinite light, we see that every form is manifest and corresponding to the sound and thought vibration for an apple, issuing from the primal thought and tone, we behold the astral light form of an apple. And so too, with each created thing, whether it be a wolf, or a tree, or a star, or a world. And all of it is there, both in perfect oneness with the awake mind of the Creator, who created it, and in its own fullness as a perfect creation, first in thought, then in form, and then light. And so we see this infinite light expanding and becoming differentiated, and the vast celestial worlds unfold before our vision and worlds infinite and divine are stretched out around us, in all directions, infinitely extending through space and time. And so we behold the structure and the light of the celestial blueprint for the entirety of creation and the universe and all that exists within the world of change and expression and time and space. And as this begins to become more differentiated, we see that within this world of light, exists the perfect sound and seed idea of each thing, and within each sound is the primal sound. And as we dive more deeply, we see the Creator itself manifesting the entire creation, pouring within it, this unbroken awake mind, whereby we are conscious at this moment, in this time, in this space. And seeing this firmly within us, we now behold the material creation being supported through the fine crystalline form of the world of astral light, and emanating from the blueprints of the form within the astral worlds of light, emerge the baseline form of energy which supports every atom, which supports every electron, which supports all the forces of creation and of the material cosmos. And so we see, emerging, manifesting and expressing from this vast celestial creation, the differentiated and perfect worlds of light, and then the physical reality of the expressed universe. And so we see our own star, the sun, emerging from this perfect astral sun, which has emerged from the most great light, and which has with, in it the perfect idea form from the sun, emerging from the primal sound and primal thought, issuing forth from the sovereign will of the infinite creator. And with each thing we contemplate, we see it unfolding before us, whether it be a blade of grass, an animal, our own individualities and bodies, worlds far from here with peoples who are conscious as we are, all of it, emerging from this perfect template of the astral worlds of light which are unfolding from the most great light, and the finest level of the primal thought, which has within it the first emanation of sound coming forth from the morn of eternity. And as we dive even further, we are left on the edge of the infinite, the timeless, and the eternal. And so we see this perfect unity between the infinite mind, whereby we are conscious and awake, and our own existence. And the awakeness whereby each of us is conscious, can never be divided from this single awake being, standing within all things, we are never divided, and never separate from anything. And then as we gaze in all directions around us, we behold a perfect divine order and that this great being, from time to time has sent to earth and to other worlds avatars or manifestations of divinity, who enliven entire worlds and refresh in a new springtime the entire creation. And we are filled with happiness as we see that the time of a new springtime has arrived and an era of 1,000 years of unbroken peace and enlightenment are dawning upon the earth and upon every world in creation, within the entire cosmos. Seeing then, in perfection the creation, the creator and the infinite mind, we are now aware that it is true that every created thing is a door, way to the infinite, and that the unbounded and infinite being is truly omnipresent, omniscient, ever, abiding at every point in space and time and at every level of creation, and that indeed folded within us and within all things, is a perfect quantum hologram of all that there is. And thus the entire universe is folded within us, and that our own individualities, which are part of the creation, have issued forth from the Creator, and our highest state of realization is to be as nothing and to be still. And we see that we are clear windows through which the infinite light of the Great Being is shining. And the awake mind whereby we are conscious at this instant, is the Eternal Being, the Infinite Self, the Cosmic Mind, from which all things, all time, all space is emanating. Now, let our minds rest at that point of the first emanation where awakeness begins to become relative existence, where the absolute phases into the relative existence of the cosmos and of creation. We see that within this most great thought is the seed idea of all knowledge. And at this level, everything may be known. All knowledge exists, every science, every art, every fact, every truth, and that is folded within the reality of man and is a fountain that can give forth all knowledge, all science, and all truth. And we may learn to go to this spot, this place of the place, less within us, and to see the truth, and to unravel the sciences and to know the facts and to perceive reality. On the wings of this infinite awake mind within us, we realize that we are integrated in perfect harmony, indivisibly, with every point in space and time. Through gently, subtly using the free will given to us by the Creator, in accordance with the divine will, all things are possible and all life is benefited. Humbly turning to this unbounded being, we may then awaken to a distant point in space or time and perceive what is happening in that place and in that time. And so it is, that perchance we may fall asleep one night and perceive what will happen the next day or the next year or the next century, because folded within us is all time and all space. The nature of the mind within us is omnipresent, and is present within every point of creation, at every point in time and space. Thus we see the entirety of the universe is open to us because the most great mind, the single awake being, is standing within all of us. And this infinite ocean of awakeness, which can never be divided, is that whereby we are awake. It is that whereby we are always conscious. And if we become silent and still, we may perceive this silent mind, and we may meditate upon the truth, and we may see any point in space and we may ask any question and find the answer. And so it is that we, meaning all advanced intelligent beings, have the capacity to be at one with the unbounded being, and to use our free will to discern the divine will, and to put ourselves at service to the divine plan. And this is the apex of the achievement of our being. As we sit upon the earth, we are called to answer the needs of this time and place, even though we see that we are established in this eternal home and this infinite space. And from this deep and abiding conscious being, on the wings of this infinite awareness, we rise into the sky above us, and we are all one in spirit and this spirit is indivisible. And in this infinite mind, we see the earth herself, a beautiful blue planet submerged in the infinity of space. And earth is an awake being herself. We see this awake being, and we feel at one with her, as her children, and yet in perfect oneness with the awakeness whereby she is her own existence. And as we gaze around the earth, we see the space of our solar system, and we see the Earth's sisters and brothers, the other planets, and Father Sunday, and we see the space around us is filled with infinite light and infinite energy, and that it is not empty but full, and it is not dead space, but it is awake mind. We see that the entirety of space is conscious. And on the wings of that awakeness, the same awakeness folded within us, we saw through the infinity of space and we behold myriad worlds and we see the entire spiral galaxy of the Milky Way, and expanding further, we go into intergalactic space, and we see billions of galaxies, infinite worlds stretching out beyond us, within us, and the fullness of that unbounded space is that vast ocean of mind within us. We are always one with this cosmic being, and we are always awake through the cosmic mind. And at will we may then travel throughout the cosmos, and gaze upon every world and see every star system. Being in this state of cosmic consciousness, we see beyond the infinite conscious material universe, and see the infinite astral worlds of light within them, and beyond we see the perfect idea form and sound sustain, in the forms of light and the infinite material cosmos. And we are one with the Creator and we are one with creation. We see that the Creator and the creation are one, and that within us, we are always one with it. Being in this state of unity, we ask the celestial realm, the angelic beings, the manifestations of God, and every conscious and enlightened being in the cosmos, to join us as we gaze upon the earth and we invite them here. As we see the earth at this time, we see that it is emerging into a time of enlightenment. And we ask the infinite God, as all of us focus on the earth, to transform every dark thought into enlightenment, and to send into every selfish heart, the infinite love of the divine, and that wherever there is hatred, that it be replaced with affection and love, and wherever there is greed and selfishness, that it be replaced with altruism and generosity. Those forces on earth that we see wandering in the ignorance of hatred and greed, we see being illumined with the light of knowledge and love and peace. Within the heart of the reality of Earth and her people, we see a beautiful golden light dawning, and we see the Earth transformed into a rose garden of peace. As she goes forward from this point onward, Earth becomes one of the diadems of creation, one of the genuine repositories of peace and knowledge in the cosmos. In this state of peace, all peoples turn to the Earth and are filled with joy because the time of the fulfillment of the promise of humanity has arrived, and we are here to witness that time and to usher in that reality. We see ourselves joined by beings celestial, astral, and extraterrestrial, and all the good people on Earth joining with us in the exercise of our will, wedded to the divine being as we manifest that time of enlightenment and an unbroken period of thousands of years of peace. Sitting quietly now, we see that we are joined by the angelic realm, the celestial beings, the astral worlds filled with our ancestors and with the beings from diverse worlds. And we see that there are extraterrestrial peoples joining us, and that there are people on this planet who are joining us in conscious thought and prayer. And we hold within us this thought, and this vision of suffusing the Earth in this golden light as it is brought into this time of peace, and all the wars will be silenced and all the suffering will end. Injustice will give way to justice, and poverty to abundance, and from destruction we will go into a time of beautiful and perfect architecture and a perfect and enlightened social order. As we see this within us, we now are certain that it will come to pass. We see that we are joined by worlds infinite and divine, as well as mate, real and extraterrestrial. The time has arrived for the old and corrupt ways to end and for the old order to be rolled up and for a new world to be unfurled, the hallmark of which will be oneness, peace, and unbroken enlightenment for thousands of generations of children on the Earth. Are increasingly staying in this etheric form, but ready to respond, if there is a need. And so frequently you'll see a craft or an etheric aspect of the craft emerging from underneath the Earth rather than coming from outer space. Once in Colorado, while on an expedition, we felt the Earth move and lift right under our feet. And then we could see all around us a craft, and the temperature rose 10 or 15 degrees. We were in an etheric craft that was translucent, but you could see the shape of it and the dimensions of it and the beings moving within it. Since the electronics of these technologies allow matter to transform through the crossing point of the speed of light and solid matter into this etheric, near, astral form, it means they can go straight through solid matter, straight through mountains, as if it is not there. Even classified human projects have technologies that do that. They can be in a state where they are not detected at all and yet are present. The fact is, then, most people won't know that they're there. Some will, but most will not. And the more they fully come into the material three-dimensional space, time dimension, the more their craft is vulnerable to current human technologies and being targeted. These are very powerful propulsion systems and electronics. If they do fully materialize, we let them approach us. We don't go running towards them. It is not safe, and it is unwise. When you're in a small group and you do this protocol, often people will just stretch out and fall asleep, and then go into a dream state. And in that state, often people will be able to let go of their internal blocks and see the ATs even better. Remember, they are frequently in the etheric or near astral form, and very easily can interact with our astral bodies, which are what is activated during the lucid dream state. In that state, or when we are awake and centered in cosmic awareness, the ETs will draw more closely. Why? Because it is safer for them when we're not connected just to our small selves, our fearful selves, and our egos. As Krishna said to Arjuna on the battlefield, a little of this, capital T, eliminates all fear. Though this is boundless mind. In that state, there is no reason to be afraid. And therefore they are more comfortable with us because we can connect to them as awake beings. It is a beautiful experience. And they can relate to us because we're connecting to that universal aspect of ourselves, the only aspect of us that is universal. But it's also the core of our beings. So by connecting to that we are ready and receptive and able to connect to them. The single greatest determinative factor for contact is the state of consciousness that you're in. What is most important about the contact protocol is taking the time to settle and center into consciousness quietly. It is done in the following phases. First, sit quietly, and do some meditative technique that enables you to be in touch with just being awake, whatever works for you. Second, once you're aware of that awakeness, go through the process of expanding it, sensing and seeing that it isn't just bound to your individual space right here, that it is really a universal awareness. Third, on the wings of that universal awakeness, allow yourself to awaken to or see, remotely view, space.